Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 340, recorded at the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, and sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined always by my cousin and my co-host, Mike, down in Florida. How are you doing today, Mike?
Doing well, Mr. Klinsman. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good. You updated your little banner.
We'll change it around. We'll just change the cities from each week. Yeah, why not?
You're just going to be in a different city.
Maybe.
Where's Waldo? You'll be in, like, Tuskegee at some point and, you know, Montgomery, Alabama.
It could be like College Game Day.
Oh, yeah. See, just go from wherever the game day is. Annapolis, Maryland this week, Bill.
Hello, Pods.
You put on the head. Lee Corso style.
Lee Corso, pew.
Oh, he's putting on the Mickey head this week. What's going on?
Nothing. Did you play golf this weekend?
I did not. I did not play any golf. Beautiful weather. Well, I'm not happy about it. It was like 51 degrees this morning when I got to work, but.
Was it really?
Got up to like 74.
50 something degrees.
That stinks. I was so miserable. We were driving. And Sarah's looking. She's like, "Oh, look, the leaves are starting to change." I just like, tell me that.
I'm gonna go apple picking next weekend, partner.
I mean, that's on the agenda.
I looked at the the extended for Chaska.
Oh,
they have one day in the 80s, three in the 70s, and then that's it.
Then they're done.
And we'll see.
It goes off a cliff.
Oh, and then it's done. I mean, you're not gonna get an 80 degree day the end of September. You're done. And like I told Kristen, I said, "We'll see you in May," and she said that if you're lucky, you could potentially see you in June.
In June, yeah, that's true. It's not
got the windows open though. Yeah,
I still have a couple 80s left in me though.
Yeah, you still have a few. Right?
I could even sneak one in October occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Not Chaska though. Not Minnesota.
No, that doesn't happen there. No, they don't really get the Native American summer.
Yeah, you're getting a lot of rain down there. I hear
it's been awful.
Now, what's going on? Just tropical storms?
Yeah, I guess there's tropical depression 15 that's going to turn into a tropical storm, but it's right down in Southwest Florida down there.
But it's just hammering Naples. You guys with rain.
Yeah, it's just, oh man, we've just been getting killed.
Because you were showing, you went live the other day.
Did you see that?
In a monsoon. I saw it after the fact, yeah. And then you ended before, or did you get caught in that on the course?
I had just finished.
Yeah.
And then a guy who I made friends with on the range weeks ago was just on the putting green, so he's like, "Hey, Mike," and he came over and we were just talking on the last hole, and we're gonna bail. And the assistant pro came out. He said, "Guys," and then the alarm went off, and I didn't. Oh. It was still sunny out, and the lightning detector went out, which means that there's lightning within 5 miles of the area.
That's close, yeah.
So he goes, "Hey, guys," he goes, "you might want to take off." He said, "We got about 4 or 5 minutes." He said, "Before we get hammered." And I went to the parking lot and I threw my bag in and it started to drizzle and I'm trying to fold up the push cart.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got the trunk shut, it just came down like unbelievable. Yeah. Like unbelievable.
It's one of those where you get soaked just going from one side of your car to the other.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're out in it, you're just cooked.
Cooked, yeah.
That's crazy. And then today we were there for lunch and they have the Florida Golf Association has the kids, like the 15 to 18 tournament.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The kids from all over the state are there for a two-day tournament. And I was just watching them all tee off on one from the restaurant.
All of a sudden, they
open up the umbrellas, and it just...
Really?
People are running from the tee box and, taking cover. There was no lightning, but it just poured.
Yeah.
For like 5 or 6 minutes, and then you looked and it was sunny over there, and I said, damn, this is gonna clear up again. It cleared right up, so I think they were able to finish there.
How do those kids hit it?
One kid was playing a practice round in front of me yesterday, and he had a beautiful swing.
Yeah.
Nice swing.
Doesn't that make you jealous? Like, I wish I was 15 and I played like that. And now you just like come up in it like that.
I mean, like, I wish, you know, you came from money and you were a country club kid, because that would be great to have like grown up playing golf instead of being the stiffs, you know, working stiffs that you and I were, just caddying and, hey, can we go out tomorrow, pro? Hey, pro, can I go out and play Monday?
Yeah, right. Going out there. I remember all those kids, like the kids that were members, they just threw them at the golf course. We were like their babysitters, the pro shop.
Oh, is that what it was?
They would just be hitting range balls all day.
That's annoying, isn't it?
All day. Can I get more range balls? No, go play. I don't want to play.
Chow would hate those little weasels, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we
Chow would have to pick three extra times. I got to go pick again because of these other little bastards.
we would just try to get them to go play. They didn't want to play. Can we take a cart? I'm like, no, you're 12. You can't take a cart.
Tried that stuff too, huh?
Just put it on my dad's account. No, get out of here. I was like, I wish I could play all day. But
if you learned at a young age and you were out there playing all the time.
Yeah. I'd still stink. I think you still need to have talent. Some kind of.
To an extent, but I don't know.
I might be like a 8 instead of a 16, but that's not anything to really write home about. I don't think I have being a scratch golfer in me. I mean, not at this point in my life, definitely. But even in like my 20s, if I had played all the time, like from 10 to 20, I don't think I would have been a scratch
golfer. Yeah, but say, what do you think you could max out shooting mid-70s? You'd be happy with that, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I would. I'm just saying it's still not like anything.
Yeah, you weren't going to be
I wasn't going to be playing in state tournaments and stuff no matter what.
Yeah, you know what, though? You might have tried. You registered and tried to play. I mean, a lot of these kids, you know, because they go out, like a lot of these guys who are on the mini tours, because they shot 68 once in their lives, they think that they can put together 3 or 4 68s.
Right.
Which they can't do. They'll go 69, 77. I mean.
Right. I'd be happy with that, too.
Oh, I would, too. But they some of these kids, they just can't.
Yeah.
Just say no. And, you know, they just can't say, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. If you're like that, though, you can make a nice little living being a teaching pro. A head pro somewhere. Like, you don't have to shoot in the 60s. Like, you could be a mid-70 shooter and be a teaching pro.
Yeah, I think you just have to pass the written exam, and then
you have to pass the playing ability, yeah.
The playing, though, I think is, like, mid to high 70s.
It depends on the course, but it's based off, like, the slope and everything of the course.
Because Cha passed his play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he actually passed that, but he just didn't want to pursue it.
No, he's a good guy. He's that good.
Yeah, Charles, like I'd say he's probably a 4 or 5 handicap.
And I expected him to be like a 12 to 14.
Oh, no, no, no. He doesn't hit the ball. No.
He's like the guy that hits a 4-iron to like 18 feet every time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep, he doesn't get in trouble.
Yeah, I hate those guys. Don't you hate playing with those guys? Like you hit it 30 yards by him off the tee. They take out their little hybrid. They knock it to 25 feet. They lag it up there, make par, and you just miss the green. You flub one, leave it in the bunker. You make double bogey.
I used to play with this kid from Chaska High School, and they were ninth graders. And their moms would drop them off at the golf course, and I'd tag along with them, or they'd tag along with me. They'd get a foursome, and nice kids. And I remember I was 60 yards past this one kid, and this kid was the best player of the group. They said he's the best player of the group. He's hitting 3-iron. To like you said, just to the front of the green, he's on. Yeah. He's got a 15-footer. I got pitching wedge, and I'm pull hooking or just lollygagging outright. Then I'm leaving the sand wedge at my shoe and making 6 when he makes 4.
Yeah.
Every time. But I outdrove your pods.
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
I'm actually interested this week, Billy. I think it's going to be a good one.
It's not going to be a good one. This is a truly hard lemonade. Strawberry lemonade.
Truly in love with Jürgen.
So this is a strawberry lemonade hard seltzer, 5% alcohol by volume. Truly. I think Truly's made by Sam Adams.
Lionel Richie. Truly head over heels.
One sip. Everybody knows the rule. I don't like strawberry generally.
Like, you don't like strawberries?
No, I'm not really a big fan of strawberry.
How about apples, Pod? You're gonna be I like apples.
Yeah, I'll be going apple picking next weekend. But this is actually pretty good. I'd been leaving this one. This came in a mixed pack, and I'd left it in the back of the fridge because I didn't think I'd like it. But it's better than I thought. I'm going to give it a 6.1. 6.1. Not too bad, right?
A 6.1 is something that you're trying to get rid of out of your refrigerator. Like when your brother-in-law's there, you're like, hey, Mike, why don't you try this one?
Yeah, but right? It's not. It's but like anything under a 5, I won't even drink. Like this, I would drink. When you get down to Slim Pickens and you only...
So you might hoard that one and give Mike the 4.2?
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh, I have this one here. It's like 6 years old. Something that came in a mixed bag. Like
skunked.
It's got dust on it. How do you?
Does he like the crap that you like, or is he more?
Yeah, no, he's a craft beer. He likes different kinds than me. Like I like the darker stuff. He likes all the IPAs, but
oh, so he's like Schaefer.
He's a craft beer snob. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Anything else you want to add here? Should we?
Let's go to break, Mr. Klinsman.
All right, we will be right back.
Just make believe you're a tiny little seed. Tiny little seed that's reaching up to meet your need with the right amount of faith and the right amount of earth. You'll grow to see the sunshine on your day of birth. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land. Listen to the land. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land, listen to the land. When springtime comes, how can you tell? The air is always filled with orange blossom smell. Come summertime, the warmest sun shines, and the world is full of flowers and good melon rinds. Let's listen to the land.
All right. We are back from break. This is episode number 340.
Gary, let's listen to the land.
The WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. Isn't that a great song?
It's a fantastic song. A little acoustics. It's so good.
That could be Sneaky, the best Disney song.
Oh, I'm not gonna argue with that.
Like we both love like the Sherman Brothers, Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow, you know, but Living with the Land, like Under the Radar, top five. I'd say Mount Rushmore, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That might be an episode we have to do.
Oh.
Mount Rushmore of attraction songs or top five attraction songs.
Okay.
We'll do that in the next couple of weeks. We'll get someone on maybe. Oh, that'd be a great one. That's what we'll do. I think we're having Mayderi and Dan on next week.
We got to make it hard for those guys.
You don't want to do attraction songs with them?
No, because they'll know them. No, we got to throw them right onto the bus and make them look like complete buffoons. As they premiere on our show.
That's fine.
I was thinking, in all seriousness, top five signatures.
Dan just won't show up.
You'll just see his screen.
How'd you get that to fade, Dan?
Was Casey's count, Gary?
Yeah. Hey, I have to ask you, how's that Vero Beach candle? What do you like? How do you like it?
I don't like it that much.
No?
No, I don't think that it gives off a good scent.
You don't like the scent itself, or you think it's not strong enough?
It's not strong enough. And she thinks it's too strong. I don't think it's strong enough. And then we got the oil, and I can't figure out the ratio. How do you do that oil thing? You got to talk to me live on the air.
So you put in the water.
Yeah, so you get like a little, you get the like little that cups. Little thing that you're supposed to measure.
Yeah, so it's like 200. I think the max you could fit in that thing is like 200, right?
Yeah, so I think it was like five of those that you could put.
Okay, so maybe 250 or whatever. It's a 50 milliliter measuring cup.
Cup, yep. Okay, so there's you put four, in, so four. So say you put 400 mil.
I usually do like 10 to 12 drops out of the thing.
That's why I'm not getting it. I think I've only put four or five in so far.
Yeah, it says to do like 2 drops per 50, but I go a couple extra. I do
so
like 10 to 12.
So if you're doing 400...
Well,
If you're doing 50, you're doing what, 4 drops?
Yeah.
So you might be doing 12 to 16 then if you're doing 400.
200, yeah.
Or 250. 4. From 200. Yeah, times 4. Oh, yep. I'm thinking 100.
Yeah, so I'm doing like at least 10. At least 10 drops. 10
and how often do you fire that thing up?
Every couple nights. Sometimes I'll forget to redo it. It lasts about the night. We'll do it 6 or 7 o'clock, and it's still going in the morning when I leave for work.
And do you keep it on? No, you obviously keep it on because you can only do 1, 3, and 6 hours, I think, or just keep it on.
Or on with that one. I have a different one. I got one from Target. I wasn't too happy with that one.
The one from Target or the one from the
candle company? No, the one they sent me was a dud. It didn't work. So I like emailed them and said, this doesn't work. It wasn't, none of the water was coming out. It was on for like 3 days and I didn't lose
any water. Oh, yeah, because mine, you can see, it looks like a volcano. You got the vapor coming out, right?
So I emailed them and they just refunded it to me. They just said, throw it away. So then I went and bought one at Target. And that one has two options. It's either on or puffs every 30 seconds. And I just leave it on continuously. So I don't know how long it would last if I did the intermittent puffs of scent.
Now, how often, if I run this thing every night, or if I just run it continuous, how often am I going to have to buy the oil?
I don't know. I haven't run out yet. But I also got, like, their top 10 packs. So I have, like, 10 different ones that I cycle through.
Okay.
So.
And now once the water runs out, you don't have to clean it out. You can just change.
I just wipe it with like a tissue
and whatever's the remnants are. And then you just throw some more water and you can put a different fragrance in. It's not going to
mix it up
or anything. Okay.
No. They say if you're not going to use it for a while to really clean it and make sure there's no like excess moisture in there. But if you're using it every few days, then it's not a problem from what I understand.
I gotcha.
So that's interesting that Susie thinks it's too strong and you don't think it's strong enough.
Yeah.
But what do you like the smell though? Like, does it remind you of Vero?
No,
it's just kind of whatever it is. It's like probably this peachy one, and floral.
That one of our friends sent the Grand Floridian. I can't find this company. This is Kingdom Candles.
Okay,
I can't find them anymore on the internet.
Hmm.
That's and I mean one, this one is tight. I mean this has a real good scent.
Smells just like
like the lot, like
Bobby. Yeah,
no, more so like the buildings because that's where they have that at the door when you walk in. They have the Boca Chica building.
Hmm. Very interesting. No, it's good. I like Candle Talk. We can do Candle Talk whenever. But I like their stuff. I've all their candles I've had. I feel like they smell very strong. But I don't know that they necessarily smell. Like, you know, I shouldn't say that because I have like the Soren, the old Soren over the oranges. That one smells really good. It smells just like that. We have like a citrus swirl one. So it's like an orange vanilla. Mm-hmm. That one smells good. But like the lobby ones, I don't know if they smell like how the lobbies smell, like the Wilderness Lodge. They have one
I wouldn't even know that smell.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They have one called Wilderness Resort, and it's my favorite one that they have, but I don't know that it necessarily smells like Wilderness Lodge, but I like the smells. It's got, like, cedar and musk and, like, those kind of, like, dark, deep smells.
Because, I mean, Beach and Yacht Club, they have the smells because you know as soon as you walk in, even before you get through the sliding doors, like, you can smell them when you just...
That's true, yeah.
As soon as you're walking in, you can smell.
That's interesting, though. Next time, maybe we could do, now that we have video, we could do like a live. I'll get all my
candles,
and I'll smell them, and I'll tell people how they are. All my Disney candles, because I have a lot. I have a ton. Because I get a lot of the small, like the wax melts that you just throw in like the little warmer thing.
Okay.
Because those are cheaper, and it lets you try them. And then once I like one, then I'll buy the big one like you did of the Vero. But I haven't tried the Vero. But there's a lot. I mean, they have so many. Did you look through their whole site, or did you just kind of like zero in on the Vero one?
Yeah, I looked through the site. I mean, they've got everything.
I mean, they got like almost 100, I think, different scents. It's pretty crazy. But depends on what you like. You don't like the fruity and you don't like the sweeter stuff, right? You like more like clean.
And this one's an orange.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, Vero is. It's called an orange blossom.
Okay.
With
a couple of but what's your like go to? You like the grass one, right? Fresh cut grass.
I like a grass. The Grand Floridian is to compare it to a Yankee Candle. It was like maybe ocean mist or sea breeze. You know the blue one. Yep, that's a nice smell, don't you think?
Yeah, that is nice.
That was always one of my favorites.
I like the ocean summery ones. Then I like the like in the fall and winter. I like the real sweet like.
Do like an apple
vanilla. I'm not a huge fan of the apple ones. My parents like the apple.
I didn't mind as much as I hate the fall. I didn't mind the Thanksgiving candles.
I love those. Yeah, that's the only thing I like about the fall and the winter is the candles.
Switch
to like the Christmas Yankee candles, and those are my favorite ones.
Yep.
You know, you get like the Jack Frost or Christmas Eve. They have one called Christmas Eve. That's my favorite one.
Is that the one that's white?
No, that's I think that's White Christmas, actually.
Okay.
Christmas Eve is red.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I've had them all.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that the measuring stick is always Yankee Candle, and they're the best
by far. You can't compete with it. The thing is, all these online ones are all soy, and Yankee Candle does like the beeswax, traditional. So I think that they can hold the scent better. I think the soy ones kind of like separate and dissipate over time. I don't know what I'm talking. I'm not a candle maker. Speaking of that, you know, Dan does that.
He does.
Yeah, so we can ask him about candles next
Should
week.
We maybe see if we can get a couple candles sent to us and we can review them? Oh, do you?
I have just his regular ones. I don't have any of his Disney ones. He did a Soarin' one, which is good, like the oranges. But then he made a couple other ones. I haven't gotten those. But anyway, so what do you want to talk about? You sent me an article here. I'm going to pull it up on my phone because whenever I pull stuff up on the computer,
I mean, if we're gonna talk about lobbies, Bill, I mean, this That's is a true. Good segue, don't you think?
It's very true. So we got you sent me an article, which basically I don't know if we willed it,
joked about it
happening. We joked about it and then it came true. So this was what was this today? It's today the 12th, yeah. So
I got some socks coming in the mail tomorrow, Pods.
Socks from who?
Got a good deal. I got some FootJoy socks because I don't have any white socks from my white shoes, so I ordered some on.
I don't like white socks. I always wear black or gray.
With white shoes?
Well, I don't have white shoes. I have gray.
You gotta have any white shoes, Billy, your white belt. Come on, bud.
I don't like white shoes either. I don't like white. It gets too dirty.
Well, you're not going to be playing in the member guest then, apparently.
Well, you're also not a member anywhere yet. So if you join a place, I'll make the investment.
You'll get white shoes.
I'll get white shoes for this.
What
trip,
size are you?
13.
Oh, perfect. I got an old pair. You can just try it before you buy it. Are you sure they're sweaty and smelly?
I'll get my own. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got like 6-year-old sweat.
So this came up today on WDWNT.com. And it says the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra's new bandstand has been removed from the lobby at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. This comes as some of its members have been seen performing in the new Disney Society Orchestra and Friends show at Disney's Hollywood Studios. So that's good, at least. Following the opening of the Enchanted Rose at Disney's Grand Floridian, which took over from Meisner's, the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra debuted the new location in the lobby. According to the Walt Disney World website, the Grand Floridian Orchestra remains temporarily unavailable. So they removed it, but they weren't playing anyway right now.
The resort was closed to begin with, other than the villas over at the DVC, right, because the NBA was using it. And it's still not open, I don't think. I think it's still got
a couple. You can go to the cafe, though, so that lobby has to be open, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The main lobby is open. Yeah, it definitely is open. I'm just saying that the resort itself wasn't.
Yeah. So they weren't necessarily performing. So I wonder if there's two ways to look at this. The cynical way, which is probably the accurate way.
Yep.
Is that they're just quietly or trying to do it quietly, just get rid of it and kind of push them off to the side and not have to pay these guys.
Mm-hmm.
The other is that since it's not open and it takes up the room, maybe they're going to temporarily remove it so they can bring in their Christmas decorations, which will be coming soon for the lobbies there. I mean, the scales of justice, which one do you believe? I think it may be a little closer to the first, where they're just trying to sweep it under the rug and get rid of these guys.
Yes, that's my thought. Yes, that's my thought.
I mean, I'd love to disagree with you and argue and say, no, they're not going to do that, but nothing leads me to believe that they're going to save any entertainment because they've been slashing entertainment everywhere in the parks, which people pay to get into. You know, a resort that you could just walk off the monorail and hang out at. There's no, you know, added value to them, according to them, to their bottom line, when they look at a spreadsheet, they don't see an added value to the Grand Floridian Society Orchestra, which is basically a rounding error to pay these guys. Because how many musicians do you think they have that rotate through? Because there's six or seven,
there's
right?
There's not play. A lot, because whenever I go, I recognize all the guys. So,
but even if they have each one has one backup, that means there's maybe 14 to 20 guys that they're paying.
Right? If that, yeah, if that, no more.
And I don't know if it's full-time gig or they're paying, if it's like a contract gig and they just pay the orchestra and they kind of pay it out to these guys. But how much do you think, what, like, for the year? It's got to be like under $500,000 for the year to pay all these guys whatever they're doing. I can't imagine they're, I mean, I don't know, 20, if it's 20 guys, 50 grand each, that's almost a million.
I don't think they're making anywhere near that.
No, that would be like a full time, but they're probably not full time workers. You know, their contract, it's a gig. So they're probably paying that society, whatever, you know, as a whole, they're contracted out and say for the year, you guys are going to get 500,000. Then they can kind of dole it out how they see fit based on who plays more and everything like that. I don't know how that works. I imagine that's because they always talk about these contracts with the entertainers. So they must do it that way, where they don't necessarily hire the musicians or the entertainers directly. They must just hire the act for X amount of years or X amount of months, and then they just get paid a lump sum, and that's their compensation. What do you think? I know neither of us know exactly, but I'd imagine just based on the way that they always say their contracts coming up, things like that as a whole, you never see one person like leave a group. It's always the whole group that their contract doesn't get renewed. So they must pay them as a group. I would imagine. I don't know.
That's what I think.
So even that being
plus
said,
they have their own CDs that they private label and sell. So
that's true.
If they were owned by Disney, obviously that would
be different.
You know, be packaged Disney. By Disney as opposed to
that's true too.
The Society Orchestra. So
yeah, I don't know. It just stinks. Just one more thing, unique, different, fun, you know, it was like a Disney touch. You talked about going back to Vero Beach, like when you're at Vero Beach, you felt like you were at Disney in like the early 90s where the
customer service.
Yeah.
Right.
But now that's going away along with these extra little things that you get like that make a Disney vacation unique. And those are going away. And they're making the hotels like not as unique, like the high rise they're building at the, you know, Grand Destino Tower. They're building the Riviera. They're just these straight up and down buildings. Like there's no character to them. There's no grounds to them. Like you don't get transported anywhere when you go to these places.
No, they have good restaurants.
Yeah, they have nice bars.
Yeah, but that's how they're packaging these resorts.
But you
can
get that anywhere at any major city.
At a Ritz-Carlton in Sarasota, of course.
Yeah, and for what you pay at those places, if you play comparable, you know, like you said, in Sarasota, you're getting probably twice the service.
Oh, absolutely.
Twice the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the dining is probably comparable, not better.
Yeah, I'm sure the Ritz is absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And so you're not getting the extras. You're not getting the value added. And eventually that's going to come back to bite them. Right now, they'll be able to get away with it. You know, for the time being, obviously everything's going, you know, being reduced with what's going on now. We don't have to really harp upon that. But I think the writing was on the wall, whether there was going to be coronavirus or not. I think they were trying to angle a way to get these guys out of the lobby. I mean, you said it a year ago, right?
Yeah, before when I saw their last performances they moved them downstairs. Like,
when was that? Like this October, November? Almost a year ago now, right?
Yeah, because it was approaching the holidays. Absolutely, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, because that closed for a little while before the new one opened. It may have been longer than that, now that I think about it.
It may have actually been longer than that.
Yeah. But
because, as a matter of fact, when did we take pictures? Who was I with?
You went by yourself that one time.
I went by myself. Yeah. Who were we with? We were taking pictures.
Well, it had to be after the gentleman's trip, though. right? So it was between the gentleman's trip and the holidays.
Because we weren't at the Grand Floridian at all during this last gentleman's trip, right? Because we didn't eat at the cafe because I think Mike said he's never eaten there or something. So we were there.
No, we didn't. You're right.
It was with the Willings. It was with the Willings at Thanksgiving because we had breakfast with them, and then me and Marsha went over and played golf.
Okay.
And the girls were going to take the monorail over to the Magic Kingdom. So we took pictures of when they were doing the work. So
I gotcha. It says Meisner's closed April 5th, 2019.
Wow. So it was
a year and a half ago.
Yeah. A year and a half. Yeah.
All right. So we're off a little on our time. I had nothing. No holiday.
Yeah, you would think it would be.
Basically, when they did their last show up there was upstairs. When Meisner's was still open. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and now they just removed their whole bandstand or platform, whatever, which was a temporary, like, afterthought anyway.
Right.
And now that's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they prove me wrong. I hope they move them somewhere else or find something new, and they're just doing it temporarily now because they need to change something over, but I don't have much confidence in that being the case. And it's just, I'm glad they're playing at Hollywood Studios, but I'm guessing that has more to do with the contract being active and they're paying these guys anyway. They're like, get your asses out there and play some music because we're paying you guys. And then trying to like keep them and keep the entertainment going. I mean, it would still stay because it's uniquely Grand Floridian, but if these musicians who are all immensely talented,
yeah, I mean, they're
so good.
Oh my God.
If they can keep them there in some capacity working at Walt Disney World, that would be good, but it would take away so much from the Grand Floridian experience to have that removed.
There's no reason to hang out in that lobby anymore.
No, the piano is nice, but the orchestra is just like perfection.
You think that guy's gig safe?
Yeah, I would say because the piano takes up, you know, just
that guy's $7.95 an hour.
Yeah, yep. I know the footprint of it and what they're paying a piano player is nothing.
Bald weasel saying, "Yep, get him out of here too. $7.95 an hour. You know what we could do with that?"
That's a good point. Yeah, they'll just have a player piano just playing it automatically.
Yeah, they'll just move the one from Casey's corner.
Yeah.
Oh, that stupid thing at like Cosmic Rays.
Oh, yeah, they'll just move Cosmic Rays. They don't care about theming anymore. They might as well. You just get Sunny Eclipse in there. You imagine you see all the commercials and you finally go, you save up the money. It's your first family trip. You go into the Grand Floridian. There's like some alien playing from Cosmic Rays in the lobby.
Yeah.
Like, why is there an alien in the Grand Floridian lobby? Yeah, don't worry about it. It's Disney Synergy. They'll just have like one of the Amazon Alexas in the middle. Just ask for your favorite Disney song. You know. It stinks. It really does.
Yeah, Christmas will be great up there, huh?
Yeah.
Nothing like getting a nice player. Dinner.
You'll have some 18-year-old kid come out, just press a button on like a tape player.
They'll go whore the local choir kids because that's free.
They don't have to pay them, yeah.
Yeah, that's free.
That's true. When did they? I mean, if they weren't already doing this, I would just say this has to do with the pandemic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if they weren't already cutting out entertainment everywhere, left and right, before this was happening, you know, among record profits, now that their profitability is in the toilet because of this, you know, you think all of a sudden they're going to, you know, change course and start saving this stuff? But you know the expression penny wise, pound foolish, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that this could be a case of that because if they just keep cutting, taking things away, they're not going to be able to differentiate themselves from their competition. They've always been above, you know, Universal's fine. People like Universal. There's nothing wrong with it. But Disney always does everything a little bit better, mm-hmm. You know, a little classier. They go the extra step. Now they're taking that step away. So if you're in lockstep with these guys, why are you going to go to Disney? Like, you're going to split it. I'll go to Disney this year. I'll go to Universal next year. The same thing. I want to do both. Or I'll do 3 days at Disney and 3 days at Universal instead of 6 days at Disney. They're going to lose out. It's going to cost them in the end. Like, they think they're saving money and they're going to make, you know, balance the books or whatever on the backs of these guys, and it's not going to work. You can't take away everything that made Disney Disney.
You know, we always joke about how we're their core fans, and they could care less about us because they always have us in their back pocket and this and that. But I got to think that the younger generation likes the other parks better than Disney. Disney isn't fun and sexy like the other ones are.
Yeah, but it still holds that nostalgia. Even some of the nostalgia is fake.
Like, yeah, you'll get these 20-somethings now, Bill, don't even know what the nostalgia was. They don't know what the electrical parade was or Spectrum Magic.
You look at Twitter, there's like 23-year-old kids who are like, oh, I wish Horizons was there. It's like, Horizons closed while you were still breastfeeding. Like, what do you
think? Yeah, I mean, those are probably some old-school purists. Like, we like...
Yeah.
You know, like,
and I'm not saying there's a problem with it. Like, you look back on the YouTube stuff and you listen to music and, you know, there's the history of it and people love it. And we are a small percentage, but if they take people like us and the real nerds for granted and they just take away what we like more and more, it's not going to be that we stop going. It's like, you're going to revolt against it. You're just going to, you know, you're going to go less and less and less because there's going to be less for you to do until eventually you're going to say, why am I paying for an annual pass?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you stop paying for an annual pass, you might go 2 years without going there.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you're not going to pay $130 to go for one day. You know, you may decide, oh, let's go up for a weekend and you'll buy a 3 day park hopper or something.
Right.
But that might be 3 years apart. Cause you'll go to the resorts without going to the park. But then if you don't have a pull to go to the parks and they take the stuff away from the resorts, you'll go somewhere else in Florida.
It's headed that way.
Granted, you went to Vero Beach, and that's still Disney, so they're getting your money still. But there's other places like Vero Beach that aren't owned by Disney that you could spend your money at and have a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's getting to the point where, like, you don't care. You still like going to the parks. There's enough in the parks still that keeps you, like, connected to everything, and there's enough in the resorts that keeps you connected. But they keep pulling at mm-hmm. this thread, and eventually you're going to get to that renewal point for your annual passing.
Which is April, and that is definitely going to be the where you reevaluate.
Yeah, and you're going to be it. That's not that far off.
No, it really isn't.
Things may not be opening back up as much as they're hoping by then. Their numbers are still going to be low, so they're not going to be adding things in at that point. They're going to, if anything, they're still going to be taken away.
Well, you heard what Chapek said about annual pass holders, right?
No.
Why they're squeezing us out? Because he figured out that the people who come for like their, you know, 7-10 day vacations,
mm-hmm.
they spend it on an average X amount of money at the resorts, while annual pass holders only spend Y amount of their money.
Right. So it's a much different percentage. And I understand that, but if they come, but what for he seven doesn't realize days, is that if you're going for 30 days,
is that we're there for some people, they're 60, 70, 90 days,
right? Sure.
So if they're only spending $20 a visit, but they're there X amount of,
right? Yeah, it's
because if they really squeeze the AP, I mean, they need the AP, that's guaranteed revenue,
yeah. And how many of those APs are actually getting their money worth? Like, there's got to be a good percentage of those people that aren't even using it, and they're not even breaking even on it.
Right.
They're going 4 or 5 times and they just have it because it's easier to pay for it month to month. Almost. I mean, you're almost in that boat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you haven't gone into the parks enough probably to justify your AP.
Not this year.
Well, no, not but even last year it was.
Yeah. The other years I have, cause we won't go for 3 months and then we might get a VRBO.
That's true.
Like last year when we got the VRBO and we hung out with your family.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I guess this year is definitely with no one going down, there's no reason for you to go up. Like, Schaefer's not coming down. Right. You won't go hang out. Willings aren't coming down. You're not going to go hang out.
Like, it was always like, like the Willings are there. We'll go see them for 2 days. Your parents are going to be here. We'll go see them for a day or two.
One of my sisters is down there. Yeah. Gentleman's trip. All that stuff that just isn't happening now. you know, and you know, so you're not using it this year, which is an anomaly certainly, but I could see a year coming where if people don't travel as much, then you just don't go. And you know what? If you don't have an annual pass and the willings come down, you could still hang out with them for a few hours when they hit the pool, and then you go to a restaurant or just hang out at the resort while they go to the parks and have dinner with them. You know, it's not really worth $130 or whatever it is to get into the park for you, for the amount of attractions that you want to do, which is none, basically.
Right.
You know, it's not worth paying to get into Magic Kingdom or to Epcot for you for one time, for one day. You know, the annual pass isn't a bad deal if you use it, but how long is it a good deal? Like, the annual pass used to be a steal. Not since you've had it. It's been expensive since you've been down there, but what, 15 years ago, it was, what, $400 or something?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, it was basically the same cost as like a five-day park hopper. So if you were getting like five-day pass, you would just get an annual pass, more or less. Now you got to get like, it's like 2 7-day park hoppers is the cost of an annual pass.
Now. Is that what it is now? 14 days
to break even? Yeah, basically like 14 days to break even. Which if you're local, isn't bad, but you know, I don't know. It's just tough. They just take and take and take, and eventually they're not going to have that guaranteed revenue, like you said. And then they'll come groveling back, and they'll eventually, someone will get put in place. You know, there'll be somebody in charge. JPEG will take the fall. He'll be the bad guy. And then,
I mean, it's interesting that I, you know, every time I go onto my Disney app and I look at, you click on passes. Well, it's just me and Kristen right now that have the Florida, you know, Platinum Plus, blah, blah, blah. Before, I used to scroll, there was Frank, there was Susan, there was Catherine, there was Mary, there were the Willings, there were the Schaefers, like nobody, all the people who I'm friends with, if they had annual passes,
it showed up on my Disney list. Yeah,
it showed up on my list. I think there was one time maybe you had it. Did you go quite a few times?
Yeah, like in 1 year? Or I had like park tickets already or something, and they were in there.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you may have. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't have
it. I only had APs when we got married, so that was before you moved down there. That's the only time.
Okay,
I
but
had
you
APs
probably still would have been on my.
Right, but if I had park tickets, like if I had a trip planned for like 6 months, I had the park tickets, I'd be in there. So you'd
But see, I mean, everybody had these damn tickets. And now it's me and Kristen.
That's it. Yeah, I mean.
Says something, doesn't it?
Out of staters, it makes no sense to have an AP at this point. And they're basically forcing the DVC people to go because they're making them use, like, no refunds on points. You could push them off to the next year, but like, look at Zach. They had to use points because they had already bumped him over because they had a kid.
Yeah, if you already bumped him, if you had already bumped, yeah, use it or lose it.
And so that's why you're finding some of these killer deals on the DVC sites right now.
I mean, there's some people on YouTube, and it irritates me because we don't have these friends, but they're gifted. They're just giving them points.
Right.
Like this guy stayed, where did he stay? He stayed at the Grand Floridian. At one of the villas, and it was a one bedroom, actually. It wasn't even a studio. It was a one bedroom. Yeah. And he said that, oh, I just want to thank one of my viewers for gifting this. They were losing all their points anyway, so they're trying to sell as much as they can, and they gave me this one bedroom. I'm like, these people, I mean, you think these people are happy?
Right. Yeah, that stinks. How much you pay just in maintenance fees on those things? Especially if you have that many points where you're giving away enough for like a one bedroom for people.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the number of points per night hasn't gone down. That's set in stone. That's like a legal contract they have to have.
Right.
It's not like the regular hotel rooms where they can change the rate
because
they don't have capacity. These points are all allotted already. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but they can't. It's not like they can just get out. They already have them sold. So people can't just stop paying, you know. Like the DVCs are sold. I guess you could just stop paying your points. So what do? They just take the DVC back from you, stop paying your maintenance fees.
I don't know. I guess it would be like a foreclosure. I mean, because it's a real estate interest, so I guess they would treat it like a foreclosure.
Right.
But the problem is, it's really not secured by anything because the people who take out loans, you know, it's a lower interest than a credit card, but it's, you know, nine something percent. I mean, that's a high rate.
Like buying a house.
Yeah. It's not like buying a house. No, right. I mean, it's double the triple of what you're going to be paying in interest for something that's secured real estate interest. So basically what loan companies are saying is this thing's worthless.
Right.
And that's why we're going to charge you a higher percentage.
Yep. I don't know. It's just such a strange time. Obviously, everything that's going on, you know, we talk about it all the time, but just this is in the background. It's kind of been in the background. It's not like it's new. All of a sudden, it's like now Disney's going to start cutting corners. Like the cutting corners from Disney.
Well, I mean, they started with Hollywood Studios, what, 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Getting rid of a lot of the entertainment.
Mulch and tears, whatever. What were they called?
Mulch, sweat and shears.
And shears, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't fantastic. Me and your family would watch them every single time they played. I mean, that was like our thing. We'd get like a coffee and sit and watch them. I mean,
everything. And then like a lot of the live shows, and then, you know, they got rid of the band in Canada that people loved, and they keep bringing in these different acts that flame out. They got rid, just before everything happened, they got rid of the drummers in Japan.
Do you think that's permanent though? Cause they furloughed them. And
I thought they got rid of it before everything. I thought that was like January.
No, it was right around this whole COVID thing.
Oh, was it?
All right, or maybe like 2 weeks before they permanently closed everything, but they knew what the hell was going on. This didn't just hit them over the head. You know that people like, hey, there's this thing that's coming and we're going to be closing for a long time. I mean,
But they got rid of the band in Africa, like Barutica in Animal Kingdom that people liked. They got rid of that last year.
Oh, they got rid of that parade. Me and my mom loved that parade. That was always outside of, not Flame Tree Barbecue, Yak and Yeti.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That was a great parade, wasn't it?
They got rid of that. They got rid of the Main Street Electrical Parade. There's no nighttime parade in the Magic Kingdom. You know, they just take, but they're not replacing it with anything.
Right.
It's not like we're taking this away, but guess what's coming? It's like we're taking this away, but now you can have a meet and greet with some, you know, with Chewbacca in Star Wars land. It's like, okay, that's not really the same thing.
But just like, some college schmuck.
I mean, maybe that's what people want. Maybe we're the idiots. I know we're the idiots. I think we're just the suckers. Like you said, that we're just the one
kid who's, quote, interning.
Yeah. We're the ones who we're doing a freaking podcast about it. So we're invested. You know, they don't care. They have us. They know it for now.
Is that a Titleist hat, partner?
No, UConn Huskies.
Oh, UConn.
Oh, I don't have anything else. How about you? All right. We'll take our second break. We are back from break. This is episode number 340 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. And we just complained again. But I think justifiably, removing the orchestra.
We didn't complain. We're not like those miserable Muppets.
That's true.
Who are constantly bitching about things. They're taking crap away from us that we love.
And we've talked about. It's not like I don't necessarily want to relitigate this whole thing, but
now, what do you think next, Pod? You think they're going to take the orchestra out of the lobby, Pods?
But and 2 weeks later, we're reading about it.
Exactly. But you remember when Maelstrom closed and they were bringing in the Frozen thing and everyone lost their minds? Mm-hmm. It's like no one was talking about Maelstrom before it closed. Like, it wasn't like this big thing that, but then all of a sudden they were taking it away and everyone loved it. It was the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, we talk about the orchestra all the time. It's not like all of a sudden they close it and now we're like, wait a second, why are you taking the orchestra away? We literally talked about it last week.
Or yeah,
2 weeks
did.
Ago.
Yeah.
Don't take away the orchestra. They've already pushed them in the corner. When are they going to kick them out? Well, you know, so it's not like we're not flavor of the week, you know, kind of trying to just come up with a reason to complain. This one hits close to home with us.
Billy, do you think Disney's a very, you know, they're ESPN, NBA, very liberal company. Do you think they'd allow me to peacefully protest?
You could peacefully protest.
You think so?
Well, I don't know how you're going to. Like, where you're just going to go in the lobby and, like, hold a sign?
Just walk around with a sign.
Just, like, GFO? G, what is it? Grand GFSO? Hashtag GFSO? Something like that. I guess you could walk around with a sign. Although, they don't allow that. That's, like, in their rules. Like,
on, oh,
that's
you right.
can't in bring the signs and stuff, right?
They have a Facebook group. Should we stop posting to them? Can we post from our WDWBTG? Probably. Bring back the Grand Floridian Orchestra.
Just on, like, the official Disney ones?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, I don't think it's going to matter much, but we could probably
do
it.
No, it's not going to matter much.
I don't know. I just, you know, it's almost like I'm not even surprised by it. I don't know why. It doesn't shock me. It disappoints me. I hate to be proven right on these kind of things. I think that's basically where I feel.
Right.
How I feel about this. It's like, I knew it was coming. Well, why couldn't they have proven me wrong? Why couldn't they have just been like, you know what? We're going to keep this awesome thing that
it's
people
like,
love.
It's like all the times that your parents tried to teach you a lesson and every time they were wrong, but that's not the case. Like your parents were always right.
Yeah, exactly.
And you look back and you're like, damn it. Yeah, they were right about that. They were right about that. But it's just the opposite with Disney.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I hope that this is the one time, but no.
Yeah. And you think about it, it's like you joke about it and it's going to come true. It's like, what are they going to take away next? Are they going to get rid of the piano player in the Rose and Crown pub? You know, there's so many little things that people like you and I and
well, you saw what that they're not doing the Candlelight Processional this year.
Yeah, but they're not doing any of that stuff. I get that.
But is it coming back next year is my question.
I don't know. But that's something Do you think they have to pay these celebrities big money to do that? Do you think?
I don't know because they're all ABC anyways. That's what I mean.
They're all like,
intertwined. Whoopi Goldberg
all,
and
yeah, I wonder if they're
Doogie
all
like, Howser.
In their contracts to do it, and they just give these guys like, because for Disney to give someone a vacation is nothing. Like, take your family, you get to stay at the, you know, the presidential suite in whatever hotel. Like,
yeah, if I have a lot of money to have a $5,000 vacation, but I have to narrate isn't worth my time. Like, I'll do it just because I want to do it, but for a $5,000 vacation, I don't know if I want to give two or three nights of my time.
No, that's true. Saying. Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Like, Cal Ripken is a vacation. Like, he could just pay for the vacation.
Yeah.
If he wants.
Yeah. Or even like Whoopi Goldberg. Like, oh, sure. You know, she's a multi-millionaire. So that vacation probably means nothing.
Right. Any of them for the most part. There's a few that are more lower end.
Like, where you're like, who the hell is this person?
Like, right. Jodie Benson does it. She was the voice of Ariel. Like, she's probably not a millionaire. I'm sure she's doing fine.
Who did
like,
we see? He was, he did on Broadway, The Lion King. He was excellent last year.
So he's probably not. I'm sure he's.
Yeah, he's fine. Not a Whoopi Goldberg.
But he's not worth tens of millions of dollars, I'm sure. So, you know, a nice little stipend and a nice vacation probably went a long way with someone like him. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, you wonder how much of this stuff, you know, like they canceled the Christmas party and the Halloween party. Those will come back because those make the money.
Oh,
like,
because that's a hard ticket. Absolutely, those are coming. You know that they were kicking themselves in the orifice.
Like, how do we
cancel
how can
that?
We, yeah, can we not cancel this? Like,
I mean, is there any freaking way that we can do this?
I'm actually surprised they canceled it because why couldn't they just sell it as a reduced capacity?
Yeah, that's
the same
true.
Capacity that they have for the parks, just sell that many tickets for it. Like, I don't know why. Maybe they can't make enough money selling that amount of tickets. It's, you know, it's a sunk cost or something. I don't know. Obviously, they're not doing it to be nice. to cancel it. You know, even among all this, all the stuff, all the safety stuff they're doing, they're not doing any of it to be nice. They're doing it to make money. They're trying to figure out the ways either
or cut costs
to make the most amount of money or to lose the least amount of
money. Right.
You know, so none of it's out of the kindness of their hearts. They're not doing any of this stuff to be pragmatic. It's all about the bottom dollar, which is what it should be. Their business. I don't behoove them that fact. But it's not like when they make the decision like not to have the Halloween party, it's like, oh, good for them. They don't want to have the big crowds. It's like, no, they did the math and they figured they were going to lose more money by having it than if they didn't. That's all it comes down to. I don't know. I'm done ranting for today.
Right.
You have anything else you want to say?
No.
Let's wrap it up. All right. You know where to find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at WDWBTG. Our website is WDWBTG.com. Subscribe wherever you find podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, all the usual places you should be able to find us. YouTube.com. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates. What else? Email info at WDWBTG.com, Gary at WDWBTG.com, and Mike at WDWBTG.com.
That's correct, Billy. That's correct.
Did I forget anything?
No.
All right. That's going to do it for episode number 340 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
Hey.